Welcome to our first episode of Pod Between Worlds for 2021. We're your hosts, Steve and Ollie, and we're going to talk about some of the... We're going to wrap up our Mandalorian review. I guess we're going to review the last episode of Mandalorian and the season as a whole. We're going to talk about some of the High Republic stuff that's come out, and we're also going to talk about how Mandalorian saved Star Wars, coming in hot.
Alrighty then, Mandalorian came out.
Yep.
Yesterday, no. The last episode came out. What are we at? Like 2 or 3 weeks? We took the holidays off.
Yeah, probably 3 weeks ago.
We didn't have a full last episode review, and we didn't have a full season review, so we can kind of bang that out now. Probably a shorter version because people have probably already heard.
Everything,
but we can give you our opinions. I have our scoreboard behind us, which actually I'm a little confused because there was something written at the bottom that turns who won, depending on what we did. But we can get into that once we finish up the review. Or do you just want to go
depending
over it
on
now?
What we did? Let's go over it now because I don't know what you're talking about.
I went through the whole thing, right? And if you took out Palpatine, because I think we said we'd use that as like a tiebreaker, or if there was like some obvious argument either way. So I took that out, and you won by 15. So I had scheduled, that's when I told you you won by 15 and everything. And that's what I thought. And then today I was coming down just to add everything up again to put it on the top. And at the very top we had Rex. And I don't know if we discussed that as a tiebreaker or if we just threw that at the end. Because that does...
I think we just threw that at the end.
So it's not a tiebreaker.
No, I don't think so.
So then you lost.
I think he was... How did I lose?
You were up by 15 without it, and then you put 25% on, and I put zero, so that would make me win by 10.
What timeout with Rex?
Yeah. You wanted Rex on there.
Yeah.
Because you thought he might be in it, and I was like, he's not going to be in it, and so we threw it on there, and you had so basically the percentage thing isn't. You basically got points per percentage, right? I did it down the side. So at the end of all the ones we went through, right?
Okay.
You were up by 15 percentage points. Okay. Do you want me to read them all off?
Yeah, I'm confused now.
All right. So Boba Fett, you had 100%. I had 95. He was in the show. So you got a 5 extra points, right? You beat me by 5%. Okay.
So the percentages are points.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cobb Vanth, we both had the same percentage. So it was, he was in the show, or if we both had the same percentage, it doesn't matter. So you're still up 5. Ahsoka was in the show. I had 100%. You had 90%. So then I go up by 5 because I had 10 points there, right?
Yep.
Sabine wasn't in the show. You had 70%. I had 65%. So I gained 5 points from that because she wasn't in the show and I went lower than you.
Oh, so you're taking points away.
Yeah, that's how it works. You don't get to just say 100% and then she's not in the show and you don't lose points. What are you talking about? Of course that's how it works. How would that be how it doesn't work? You don't get to just say, like, why wouldn't you just say 100% for everything?
Because?
So that's how it works. Or you just say 100% for everything and you'd win. Because if they're not in it, then it just gets canceled out. Of course you lose points if you... That's the whole point of guessing if they're in it or not.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Oh, stop it. This is how the whole board worked.
Okay? So because Rex was in it, so because
Rex... was not in it. Well, I mean, it's everything. I mean, it's not that didn't like that could have been in the middle of the board. It's not as if that was the swing vote. I'm just saying I didn't see that. And so I was asking you if it was a tiebreaker or not. If you think it's a tiebreaker, you can take the victory. But like those are the points.
I would have to go back and
I mean, I have it right here.
What? Have what? The podcast?
No. The board.
Right. No, I know. I'm just saying like.
I remember that we made Palpatine like a questionable one because you were like, well, what's a hint? That's an argument. So we're just kind of like, all right, we'll throw that at the bottom because none of the other ones were hints. We specifically said hint. Thrawn was a mention one, but that's specific. I remember we had we had more discussion around Palpatine because Palpatine was like a thing that we both would have put zero if it was like a direct mention, but we were like, okay, if they hint towards it, like if they make a, if there's any leak. But then we were like, how are we going to tell that? That's just going to become like a discussion piece. You know what I mean? So like,
it could literally be like, well, back in Palpatine's empire, and it's like, well, that's not really.
Well, like, right. That would dimension. Yeah. We wouldn't have counted that. Yeah. The hint was more like, was he involved with Gideon? And I say there was a hint there, but again, when we talked about it, we were like, the hints are like, that's an opinion piece. There's no way to like verify that. So like mentions you can verify, because she did like Thrawn was mentioned. You know what I mean? His name was said, so like he's in.
Yeah, whereas Palpatine, again, it's objective. You can't.
Right. So basically, Boba Fett was in it, Cobb was in it, Ahsoka was in it, Sabine wasn't, Bo-Katan was in it, Fenn Rau, Ezra, and Hera were not in it, Thrawn was mentioned. We're getting rid of Palpatine, and then Luke was in it from the Luke, Leia, Han, Lando, Ben Solo, and Chewbacca.
And that fucked me over. The Luke one fucked me over.
That wasn't huge. You put 10%, I put 35%. So you were still winning at that point. Before I got to Rex, the biggest swing I think you had. Yeah, 40-point swing on Bo-Katan. You had 75%. I had 35%. So that was your biggest win.
Yep.
All right. Anyways, getting to the season finale. I guess we really don't have to go crazy because everybody's seen it 100 times probably by now. Overall thoughts, and then how the season goes, and then maybe at the end we'll get into like where you think we're going. But what were your thoughts on the last episode specifically?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll try to keep it short and sweet. Now, maybe I'll make it a little controversial. I think just the appearance of Luke, I think they did fan service quite well with Luke. We got to see Luke post Return of the Jedi, that, you know, he's not like Last Jedi, where he's kind of fallen off, where he's like in his prime, I would say. So we got to see that, which was amazing. The hallway scene, obviously, that mirrored the Rogue One Vader hallway scene. That was pretty cool. One fight that I think is overlooked is the Beskar fight with Din and Gideon. I thought that was an awesome fight. The choreograph was awesome. So, and then, you know, obviously the very end with the reveal of Luke Skywalker, and obviously Grogu going with him and everything. I think it might be the best episode yet of the Mandalorian. I can't think of any other thing in the show that would pass that. We got to see, like I said, did fan service a great job. It meshed some of the old with the new, in the sense of like, you know, Disney Star Wars, the old trilogy, it meshed everything together, came to a big turning point. And it also leaves us on a cliffhanger. We're going to have, you know, there's one big question there with the Darksaber. And I think they did that well, where it didn't take precedent over the fact that Grogu went with Luke. So, and they also kind of came to fruition what you were saying, that, you know, you didn't see Grogu kind of sticking around after a while, because it's kind of like, how do you...
Go forward with the Mandalorian, right?
Yeah. So how does that work? Well, there's your answer. So that's, I think it, you know, it was a lot of the stuff that we've been hoping for. It all came together in one episode, and it also left a lot more to be yearned for. So we're, you know, it's my favorite episode of the whole show so far. So, and yeah. I'm just excited that we got to see Luke. I know some people are like, you know, they were kind of like, oh, the CGI was like, with his face was eh. And then some of people were like, oh, it was great. I thought it was great. I don't care. The fact that Mark Hamill was even involved in it was awesome.
Right.
And just the fact that we got to see Luke in his prime, it was just after Return of the Jedi, that close. It was so awesome. So,
yeah, especially in live action, because I feel like we're going to get Luke in something, but I think it may be like animated eventually. I feel like it would be a long time before we get Luke in like a live action at the prime. I hope I'm wrong, but like I can see like there being like almost like an animated thing with him and Grogu or something like that, or him and Ben. But yeah. I mean, I had Similar feelings. I still think, as like a super nitpick, I still think the whole like them boarding Gideon's ship, I can't tell if I put that on Gideon just wanting the confrontation, because they keep pitching him as like, through the first two seasons, they pitched him as like a step ahead kind of villain. And really, like, Din like calls him and is like, yo, I'm on the way, I'm coming to get you. And then they show up with like the charade of Boba shooting at the ship. It's all very obvious, you know what I mean? So like, to me, I can't really, I think I have to see it as, I think I see it as Gideon just wanting to get it over with. Like, he thinks he could take them and he just wanted to get rid of them, so he basically let them on. Because really, if you're thinking about it, it's like, not that we know exactly what Gideon was doing, but if the baby, if Grogu was that important to him, right? And he said he already had the stuff, but if it was that important, and like I don't really get what Din or Bo mean to him at all. So like, when Din calls out of the blue and goes, yo, I know where you are, I'm coming to get you, what, he could just jump anywhere, like just go away.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it just seemed kind of like, I guess I was thinking it would be more of a sneak attack, but I think I have to look at it as, because I can't be convinced that Gideon was like fooled by that, because that makes him even worse of a villain if he literally like bought that. You know what I mean?
I think he was just overconfident.
Yeah, I think that's what it has to be.
I think it's just arrogance.
I guess a
like,
little
I'm
bit.
The Empire.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess.
Don't fuck
with
me.
He's probably my biggest disappointment to this point. And they didn't kill him, which I think means something. So maybe he becomes more interesting down the road. But I really thought they were going to make him a badass. And he's not really. He's kind of a wimp.
You didn't like the sword fight?
No. But he had a lightsaber and a free shot. So he's really not that impressive. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's not. True. He talks a good game. I love the acting. But like, what they did with him is, he just had that kind of cool intro in season one, right? Which was pretty badass. But he still can't even beat three dudes, right? He can't beat three people that are pinned in a thing. And he gets beat. And then he kind of gets like all pissy and he has the sword. And then he gets Grogu and then loses him two episodes later. So he just like the way that they wrote him so far, I thought he was going to be like a big bad, that we were maybe going to have like a final showdown in season three or four on Mandalore kind of deal. And I think he's just kind of a pushover. But I will say they didn't kill him. So there has to be a reason they didn't kill him, I think. If they just throw him in like a Republic jail and don't use him again, I think that's a waste. Then you should have just killed him in combat, you know?
I think it's tough though that you can, I mean, who else in that time period are you going to throw up there that's going to be, I mean, maybe they're going to come up with a completely different bad guy that we don't know.
Oh, you're saying finding
yet.
Another bad guy? Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah,
I mean,
that's kind of my point of why I thought Gideon was the guy. You know what I mean? There's not. I mean, there are a million remnants, I guess, you could continue to make up. But yeah, I mean, I think that's just pulling from the well. I think you had a good base for Gideon, you know what I mean? To make him more of a badass and extend that a little bit. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is such a nitpick. I am so happy with the show. You know what I mean? I don't want to make this sound, you know, negative. I'm just like, that's my biggest thing is I just thought Gideon was going to be more intimidating for the long term of this show. And he kind of isn't now. You know, I mean, again, when you're watching it the first season, when he comes up, you get the good intimidation. I get it. You know what I mean? But now, like, once season two is complete, like, was he really that impressive at all? No. Like, he didn't do anything. And again, getting to your point, like the lightsaber fight, like he battled Din for a little while and it's like he literally had a free shot at his back and then he's using a lightsaber and got beat by a Beskar pole. So like he's not that impressive. So I was super happy. I love the Luke thing. As soon as the one X-Wing came in, even before, I don't know if it was it Bo or was it...
it was Bo.
Casca Reeves that said, one X-Wing? How's that going to help us?
Oh, no, that's...
Is that Kara?
That's Kara.
Okay. Yeah. One of them said that. Even before that, I was like, oh, there's only one X-Wing. It's Luke. Because at first, when the X-Wing shows up, I was like, okay, probably Luke. But then I was waiting to see if there were like two or three X-Wings, thinking maybe it's the New Republic. But then when clearly it was the one and it flies by, I'm like, all right, here we go. Luke, baby. And it was badass. I thought the R2 thing was cool. I think they may lead into that because his communication with R2, Grogu's communication there at the end with R2 or R2's communication with Grogu, I guess, very much made it seem to me, again, just an opinion, it very much made it seem like R2 knew him or had seen him before. When I say know him, I don't mean like they had like some deep relationship and they were best friends at the temple back in the day. But I'm saying like he recognized, it seemed very much to me like R2 recognized Grogu.
Right.
You know? So that's interesting. You know, I don't know if that'll play into it. I liked the Filoni keeps doing this, right? I mentioned this a lot when we were, we'll just jump into the season, overall season now. He does this constantly. He did it with Din and the Mandalorian thing, and he's doing it now with the Darksaber, where at face value, what you're seeing, you're like, if you're a huge canon fan and have watched Clone Wars and stuff like that, and all in Rebels and stuff, you jump and you go, that's not right. Right? Like Din's whole first season, there were multiple things I was like, that Mandalorians can take their helmet. Like, what is this? You know what I mean? And like, I kind of hinted at like him being part of some like offshoot thing. And that's what ended up happening. And now the Darksaber thing, my immediate reaction when, you know, Gideon was saying it, and I know Filoni writes this, you know what I mean? So I know I know that everything, he's not going to make a major mistake. Like, this is his baby. He knows exactly what he's doing. So I did have that internal conflict right when Gideon was like, well, she can't take it. She didn't earn it. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, Gideon. Like, she can't take it. She took it from Sabine back in the day. But immediately I was kind of like, oh shit, I wonder if this is that whole thing where like she took it from Sabine and maybe people blamed her because obviously they fell shortly after that at some point, you know what I mean? And people didn't like rally to her cause, and then people found out she didn't earn it, and that's like a whole thing. So like that's why she wanted Gideon so bad, not just for the Darksaber, but she had to earn the Darksaber,
right?
It'll be interesting, I think, overall. But yeah, season two, I thought killed it. I think I haven't gone back and watched it straight through, but I'm excited to. There was really only one episode, that second episode, right? Was it the second? It's the second episode where they go to the ice planet?
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of not a lot happened. But again, if you're watching, if you get to binge it, I don't think it'll stick out that much because it just turns into like a side adventure on his way to Trask. At the time, it seemed to be, you know, everybody called it filler. But at the time, it seemed to be a misstep because, again, it's always this thing where like when you have to wait a week and that's what you get, you're like, man, like I thought we were going to Trask. I thought we were moving the story ahead. You know what I mean? And so I mean, for a full week, it's like, ugh. But when you get to just watch it through, really, it turns into he's just on his way to Trask and there's a little side adventure. So it becomes fine to me. This season seemed more cohesive towards the end. Like it seemed like a more cohesive storyline than season one, when I was joking about the video game thing where it's like, oh, go here, do this mission. Like, you know what I mean? It still had that, but it wasn't as bad. It seemed like we were always heading in the same direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I did a rewatch of season two and the second episode I just skipped over. I'm just not even, it doesn't count to me. That's one episode I'm just like, yeah, whatever. But the rest of the season, yeah, I agree, it's all cohesive. The writing was better. I think if Grogu stayed, it would have, I think that would have posed a problem though. Was that like what you're saying?
Like, where do you go? Yeah, like,
yeah, like are you gonna keep doing the same video game thing where it's like go here, go here, go here? Like, it's right.
Go to a planet, somebody gives you a task to help you do the task, then they help you at the end, and then you go to the next planet, and
that's what it was turning into. Yeah, so I think it's good that they left it on the note of Grogu goes with Luke, so now he's gone out of the way,
right?
And then now, like what I was saying is, I think season three is going to be about Mandalore, and now it's probably going to come to fruition because
it definitely seems like that's where it's going.
Be
interesting with the Boba Fett offshoot too. Because that makes it seem like he's not. I didn't quite know if they made up there. Be interesting to dive a little bit more into that whole thing with like. I thought that was an interesting scene with Boba and Bo-Katan and Cosca Reeves. that whole thing about you're not a real Mandalorian, and he's like, never said I was. It almost seems like he's kind of like, because of the way they treated his dad and probably the rumors he heard, that he's not a big fan of Mandalorians. Like, yeah, that's what it came off to as me. He's like, yeah, I don't, it's my armor, homie. Like, I am Mandalorian because I'm the son, a clone, but a, the son of a Mandalorian who was a Mandalorian. He was a, you know, child of the watch, just like this kid, just like Din that you're accepting. You know what I mean? So I think he's a little peeved by it, but I think at the same time, he's probably heard it so much that he's just like, yeah, okay, go ahead. Go take back Mandalore.
You know? Now, do you think Bo-Katan and Din end up with each other?
No idea. I mean, it could be. I don't know if the Darksaber ends up being the catalyst that like makes it tougher for that to happen.
Wouldn't it make sense though to unite all the clans of Mandalore?
Oh yeah, no. That's definitely a very realistic possibility. You know, assuming, I mean, again, they don't get into anything. I mean, we can assume pretty readily that like Din doesn't have any relationships, you know what I mean? Or past life, because he was picked up so early and stuff. We don't necessarily have any idea on Bo-Katan. I mean, she could be married already. You know what I mean? Like, not likely, but like she has been doing this for a while and trying to put Mandalore back together. So who knows what kind of, not even relationships, but what kind of deals she already has in place with other clans and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting. But I think the thing with that is he poses an interesting, a better leader, maybe. And again, it all depends on what happened on Mandalore, but he has the interesting quality of being raised in the ways of old Mandalore by the Death Watch. And those people were probably the people who were not thrilled with Bo-Katan, right?
Right.
Like if anybody broke off, it was going to be, you know, clans like that, that still believed in that kind of warrior way. Not that, I mean, Bo-Katan's kind of confusing because she was with them too. She wasn't super like leave the warrior way behind either, but she wasn't quite as culty as Death Watch, you know,
right
at the end. So maybe he's the perfect leader, because if now Bo-Katan and the Night Owls and her clans and the people who are still behind her trust Din because of all this, right? They can kind of teach him the real ways of Mandalore. He almost becomes this mix, and then any children of the Watch, that whole gang, like the armor and them, they're with him too. You know what I mean? So he may be the best pick, because he's actually kind of in the middle, you know what I mean, now, because he's taken his helmet off. He's more leaning towards some of the stuff Bo has given him. He's still well rooted in the Children of the Watch stuff, but he's definitely like the armorer wouldn't have approved of a lot of the stuff he's done so far.
So me personally, I think there is going to be a connection between Bo-Katan and Din, but
Din doesn't have connection. Just like they'll get married.
I think married or something like that.
Yeah, I'm saying that's fine. That's perfect. That would unite the two sides of what we see of Mandalore.
I think that's the only path.
Yeah,
because the only.
But I think he's a better leader if they go by the Darksaber, because I don't know that you'd ever get the Armorer and that group, like the Children of the Watch, to follow Bo-Katan. But if they think Din's the one with the sword, maybe they go along with it. You know what I'm saying?
I think he potentially.
Yeah, well, it's all percentage. I'm just saying.
No.
I think he gives them a better chance of following him than him going back to them going, no, actually, Bo-Katan's kind of cool. And they'd be like, nah, dude.
No, see, like, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he potentially has it. I would say right now, if you said right now he's supposed to, like, he'd be a great leader for Mandalore, I'd probably say no. Because
of course Bo-Katan. I'm saying it's exactly what I'm saying. The potential's there because of where he came from to unite more of the clans of Mandalore.
Right. I'm just saying he doesn't, as a leader right now, he doesn't have his character, at least so far, doesn't have any, like, he doesn't seem like a leader in a sense. He doesn't project that yet.
I'm
not
saying
yet.
The exact
not
same
yet.
Thing. That's what you can build towards. That's good that he doesn't have that, actually. Because it gives you something to build on. If he already had it, it'd be too quick almost. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think...
You like the Bo-Katan Din thing, huh?
I don't see it any other way, because I don't think his personality... He's more of a loner. And that's the thing. Like, it's weird that he's gone, like, and maybe this is what's building up to, is that the first two seasons, he starts out as a lone bounty hunter that belongs to a guild. You know, he has the Mandalorian, whatchamacallit, in the underground or whatever.
The Enclave, like, or whatever. Yeah.
The Enclave. But he's not the leader of the Enclave.
It's no, not, and some of them are even pissy with him.
Yeah. So, yeah. There, so he starts out there, and then he progresses. He, you know, he has, like, you know, Greef Karga and now Cara Dune and then now Bo-Katan, and, like, he kind of gets these allies, Boba Fett. And,
the Avenger squad.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And now it's kind of like, all right, now he does work with people.
Right.
But it's still not to a point where he's at that, like, I'm a leader, listen to what I have to say, this is what we're doing, like... They kind of helped him because they owed him something, and Bo-Katan wanted something complete and wanted the Darksaber, so it's completely different. But it's, yeah, I know we're saying the same thing. I'm just saying, like, I'm just explaining that I don't think there's any other way. I think it has to be, there has to be a connection with Bo-Katan or something to Mandalore with, like, someone that you would think is a leader, but then kind of transforms him into a leader. I don't think it's going to just happen naturally. I can't see it.
Oh, yeah. I just don't know that they get, like, married and they're, like, king and queen, you know? I can see it going a million different ways.
We don't
I'm
get
fine
that
with
kind
it.
Of,
I'm just saying, like, I don't...
We don't get... Yeah. I think it would be a good opportunity for Star Wars to do something like that because we don't get that kind of stuff all the time. I mean,
yeah,
Anakin and Padme, but, like...
That's different. Yeah, what? No, I know
it's
what you're saying.
It's not the same. It's besides them and besides Leia and Han, yeah. What else do you have?
Well, also the bummer of all these things is I think this is my biggest thing with, like, the sequel trilogy, and I still enjoy it, but, like, it's always the cap on all these things for, like, canon.
Yeah.
It's like, what happens? They take back Mandalore. Like, if we wrote the perfect fantasy of, like, they take back Mandalore and then the Mandalorians are back in power, it's like, where are they in the sequel trilogy? They're just gone again. It's like the sequel trilogy ruins all those storylines. You know what I mean?
I know, but it, like, that's...
So, I mean, I guess you could say they were part of the fleet that comes, because there were some I think there's some Mandalorian people in that Exegol thing, but, like, you would think they'd be a major player, you know? But we'll see.
Yeah,
we still have
I guess
one.
They,
it's got to be at least
and
two.
And this is
left.
One of the many reasons why I don't like the sequel trilogy, so...
It has nothing to do with it for you.
Yes, it does.
No, it
does. Yes, it does. 100% does. They're trying to fill in the gap between two trilogies, and they can't do jack shit because your sequel trilogy doesn't, like, allow that kind of, like, story writing. So
yeah, that's what I've been saying the whole time.
Right. Well, I didn't disagree with that.
I'm not saying the movies individually. I'm saying, like, the biggest bummer of the sequel trilogy is that the limits that it's put on the stuff now. During when it was coming out, I was like, okay, like, I get that they can't put stuff in between because there's going to be stuff that's going to spoil it or whatever. But now it's like they didn't spoil anything because they didn't fucking use anything. I mean, what did they use? Only Luke, right, basically.
So I'm just going to drop kick the Mandalorian stuff for now. Let's go into the next thing. So, or, you know, we got the High Republic stuff. We could talk about that. But
Steve's so pumped to talk about this.
What? What? Mandalorian saved Star Wars? Yeah. What's wrong with that? Okay, so I've been reading a lot more about, like, Disney and the changes that they've made in, like, the, you know, the reasons why we got the shows and stuff, obviously. And in my opinion is that Mandalorian saved Star Wars. I think on some level it saved Disney because Disney hasn't been doing that great because of COVID and all that crap. And I think it did a better job of uniting both old and new. And the reason why we're getting so much content now is because Mandalorian was kind of like their test puppet or their test project to see if they could truly be successful with TV. We've talked about that before. But I think it truly saved the franchise. I think it put them in another path now that you don't have to rely on the movies to be successful in the franchise. So that's one thing. Content wise, Mandalorian was awesome. So mm-hmm. everything, everything that the magic of Mandalorian really spearheaded everything else. And I think if Mandalorian wasn't good, and if it, or it just didn't live up to the expectations that I had, because it did have some high expectations, I think more season two than season one. Mm-hmm. If it didn't come through on those expectations, I think Star Wars would be in trouble. I think in some level, not, and maybe not like the whole franchise. I don't, you know, maybe not like, you know, Star Wars is going to die per se, but I think it would be in trouble. There would be some, you know, there would probably be a lot of big changes. You know, Mike Zero's been fucking saying Kathleen Kennedy's going to get fired every single day of the fucking year. So, but like stuff like that would actually drop. I know. But like that would probably be more likely to happen if Mandalorian didn't do anything.
All right. First of all, nothing Mike Zero says is likely to happen. So I'm kidding.
Kathleen Kennedy fired.
Yeah, I mean, sooner or later, yeah, I would imagine, or she'll leave.
I think God damn it, we shouldn't talk before the podcast because, like, it was so.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing with this whole line of thinking. I think the points are indisputable. I think that's it's clear. I read articles before Mandalorian came out that talked about needing Mandalorian to be good for the future of Star Wars before it even came out, because it was launching with Disney Plus. It was more the Disney Plus thing. Okay, so it's indisputable that Mandalorian being good was gigantic for Star Wars and Disney as a whole, right?
Marvel, I would throw Marvel in there too. You could probably say that because...
Well, Disney has that's what I'm saying. All Disney properties benefited from Mandalorian doing well because that brought a lot of people to the platform. It allows them to develop a lot more stuff. It allows them to prove that TV is the way, right? I said is the way. Look at that. It's the way. This is the way. There you go. So I think all these points are indisputable. I just don't... The whole like saves Star Wars angle and Kathleen Kennedy's done the worst job ever and all that stuff. It's just, I'm not. And that's why I'm not bringing, like, people have said that, right? Yeah. People are like Kathleen Kennedy.
I've said that with the sequel trilogy. I think she didn't do a good job. I think Mandalorian is, I think she redeemed herself in a way.
Gotcha. Okay. I think there's just two different categories of like, she didn't appease a lot of fans with the people she chose to write the story and direct the movies, right? But like, right, if you're looking at like Disney stock, for example, it is literally since, when is this? 2016, it has continuously gone up until it went spiked down. It went to bit like 151 right around the time that Last Jedi was released, right?
Yep.
And then it takes a dip right when COVID came out. Right, like February 7th, like it hit a bottom at like March 20th, so it takes a dip, and it's now right back up to, well, it's actually up to a new high now. Now it's in like the 180s.
Immediately after all the announcements of the TV shows and everything too, like that was a big
right. So all I'm saying is like I'm not big into the. I don't know what a lot of these people do. I don't know how movies work. Right, I just watch them to enjoy them. I don't really know what a producer does. Like, and I'm talking about intimate details. We don't have contacts there, right? All we hear is from this source or from that source. All I'm saying is if you are looking at this stock chart from a 10,000 foot view, right? They made a fuck ton of money. The sequel trilogy was absolutely fine. And Mandalorian killed it as well. Now, the fandom thing, I get. Like, yes, the sequel trilogy did divide, and like we talked about before, the division came from mostly people who just can't leave. There are people who like the original trilogy and only the original trilogy, and that's awesome, but there's a huge portion of them that want to see anything that's Star Wars that they don't like burn, and the company with it. And they didn't like Disney up front, so they're always going to have that no matter if everything's perfect. Right. The Mandalorian did a good job crossing that line for the first time. I think it got a lot of people, like almost all people. So I think that's the first like overall success of like money and and the fandom, right? And like you said, The Mandalorian itself was a bigger player than the sequel trilogy for sure, but I think that's more medium in the launch of the rest of Star Wars currently. And so it did. So I agree with all your points. You know what I mean? I just don't know that I buy into this, like Kathleen Kennedy's the worst producer in the world. And I know you're not saying it, but I'm saying like that side of it, that Kathleen Kennedy has no idea what she's doing. She makes the worst stuff. It seems to be a lot of people will give her all the crap for the sequel trilogy and none of the credit for Mandalorian because there's a split at Lucasfilm, right? And Dave Filoni and Favreau hate Kathleen Kennedy and she hates them. And it's the High Republic has nothing to do with that. So we hate that. It's a very, I think you either can give her credit for all of it or some credit for all of it, right? And some blame for all of it, but you can't do that. This is like the quarterback thing, right? The quarterback is involved in the loss and the win, right? You'll have individual plays that are really good that really win a game. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you can't sit there and say every win was completely the quarterback's responsibility. He got them all the wins and all the losses completely had nothing to do with him, right? So like, right. I just don't know. Like, it just doesn't seem like a consistent line of thinking to give her no credit for certain things and then blame, you know what I mean? To blame her for certain things and give her no credit for the good things. She either deserves blame for when shit didn't go perfect or she deserves credit for when, I mean, the whole thing with the Filoni and Favreau, she picked them to do it. So like, she doesn't get credit for that. You know what I mean? So that whole thing is where I step out of the conversation in terms of just like, I don't think people are being consistent in judging her. I don't know exactly what she does. And I don't think the sequel trilogy was as good as it could have been. So I don't think she's been perfect, but I give her right now, she's like basically the head of Lucasfilms, right? Is that what you would call her in general? So if stuff's good, she's a big part of it. If stuff isn't great, she's a big part of it not being that great. You know, so.
Right. I think you're right. I mean, I think the thing with the sequel trilogy is that a lot of the turmoil and a lot of the things that were wrong or they weren't done right. Like you could say like who she hired or like the writing and stuff. At the end of the day, it falls to the leadership. I mean, that's the thing. If you're a sinking ship, who do you look at? The leader.
Hasn't been a sinking ship since they took over. So that's my point. Like the business has just been going up since 2016, very consistently. So I don't know how you can, you know what I mean? Now, you can say it could have been better. Sure, okay. Like, I'm with you with that. I think it could have been better. But I don't think you can say they were failing because they weren't failing. By hard numbers, they were not failing.
I don't think they were failing.
If you're not failing, how do you need to be saved?
Do you think they were going in the right direction?
Stock price, yes, they were. They were going up. I mean, do you judge a business? At the end of the day, when you have to go 10,000 feet, like when you have to go 10,000 feet, right, and you're not involved, you don't know what Kathleen Kennedy does at a daily basis, how are you going to judge a publicly traded company?
You're looking at from Disney, not from Star Wars.
They're a major driver in Disney.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that, you know, everything in the Disney stock price is just purely influenced by Star Wars. It could have been Marvel too, because right. Marvel had a lot of big releases.
So here's what I'll do. I'll give you my take on this is that Mandalorian was a huge driver in where we're going with all these TV shows. And I think it opened up a lot of doors for Disney and for Star Wars. I personally would not subscribe to the line Mandalorian saved Star Wars. I don't think it needed to be saved as a business. I think it opened a ton of doors and did amazing things. So on the surface, I agree with you pretty much 99.9%. I just don't think it's as bad as the Twitter sphere and people make it seem. The movies did not perform badly. They were fine. People didn't like them, and I wish they did. And they could have easily just gone with the, like we talked about beforehand, they could have just rewrote the expanded universe, and they would have gotten very little hate because that's already out there. It's established. They could have made little tweaks and they would have avoided a lot of the division. And I think the biggest mistake I can see with the sequel trilogy is that it seems like it just wasn't written. Like, there just needed to be a definitive outline. And if you wanted to use different directors, fine, but they needed to get to the end and here's how the story goes. And they didn't do that. It just seems like they were like, all right, Force Awakens, cool. Ryan, do your thing. And then he goes, okay, I'm going to write a movie that's 18 hours right after Force Awakens. And then it just leaves it to Trevorrow, who had something written. And then the Leia thing's huge. I mean, had Carrie Fisher not passed away, we would have gotten Colin Trevorrow's third episode 9. That's the only reason.
That was the sole reason for it? That he didn't...
The movie was written, and then he had to do rewrites, and they didn't like the rewrites, and then they hired J.J. Abrams and Terrio. Yeah, he has the entire script. It's out there. Star Wars Theory has done a big thing on it. So, the movie was... The script was done. They were going to go... That was going to be episode 9. And Carrie Fisher passed away, and that's the only reason they went into rewrites. I can't tell you the future. Like, I can't predict if she lived, does Kathleen Kennedy still look at, or does Bob Iger still look at his script halfway through filming and go, I hate this, and still hire JJ and Terrio? Maybe. Yeah. But that was the driving force. The script was already written. And then they had to rewrite, and they didn't like the rewrite. So it was a cluster all over. I completely agree with you. I think this is way deeper in terms of media types. Like Disney, I think it has a lot to do with Disney Plus and moving to TV and moving away from some movies. I think it is a lot bigger than the sequel trilogy in terms of like what happened. I will agree with you on Mandalorian's effect as a whole was instrumental in what we're getting now. We do not get what we're getting now without Mandalorian. 100% agree. But I personally, and I don't have a problem with you using it. You're definitely not on the other side that's just like cringy, like has no opinion, but that, like I could write their scripts before they put them out there. You have a good point. I just personally wouldn't, I personally don't think it saved Star Wars. I think it's where we are now. I just don't think, I don't know. I wouldn't use save because I don't think it was a sinking ship. I think they were going to get plenty of more opportunities and cracks at it. I think it has more to do with the TV thing and the movie thing and then COVID. I think there's a lot more factors to it than like the Mandalorian was the end all be all of Star Wars.
All right.
Fun to disagree. I mean, like, it wouldn't be fun if we agreed on everything.
I personally just think they were in trouble. I mean,
define trouble. What happens if the Mandalorian's not good?
I think just the blowback in general from the sequel trilogy. I mean, we've said, regardless of if you like it or not, and yeah, it was successful, but you also have to consider there was a lot of people that just watched it just to watch it. They just wanted to get through, and then that's it. And they were like, yeah, we're done. We're not, you know, fuck Star Wars.
Those people would still watch another movie and complain about it again. That's the advantage Star Wars has.
I know, but at the same time, though, I think as a franchise, I think we wouldn't be getting all of this content, obviously, because of The Mandalorian. Mandalorian proved that they can fucking do a TV show. Now we're getting 10.
Right, 10. No, 100, 10, yep.
Which
yep.
is nuts. Not two, not three. We're getting fucking 10, which is like clearly cash cow right there. They're like, oh shit, we got to get on this bandwagon. We got to get, you know, make our profits because, you know, shit, Mandalorian's fucking blowing up. Disney right. Plus is blowing up. I think if Mandalorian didn't do that, they would be in big trouble. I think because you would have sequel trilogy was mixed. Like you had some people that liked it, some people that didn't like it. It didn't have a great fan response. Solo didn't do well. That was technically a Star Wars bomb, and they got rid of Solo 2 at this point. You know, we don't know if we're ever going to get anything related to that yet. So
that still one's nuanced too.
Huh?
I said that one has some interesting nuance too. There's a huge argument to be said that they shouldn't have released a movie 6 months after another Star Wars movie. That right. affected it.
But yep. again, but yep. then you could point at Kathleen Kennedy for that because that's yep. that is the leadership
that's
thing.
Fine. Like, I'm just saying, like, it? Yeah.
It's kind of like a TV. It would be kind of like a TV show thing. They're I think they're staggering it, but like if they release like four or five TV shows at the same time, that's probably going to cannibalize viewership and stuff. It might be too much overload. But besides the point, so you had that, and then you know Rogue One was great. I mean that was a great spinoff. It, you know, we're getting a TV show because of that and because of Mandalorian. But besides that, what do you have? Fallen Order? Like, your video games aren't doing jack shit right now. No one's like getting excited about, oh, I can't wait for the new Star Wars game that's coming out, because guess what? There's a, you know, we had Squadrons, but woohoo. Like, it's not, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And if people aren't really liking the movies and say they didn't like Mandalorian, what the hell are they going to like? You know, we probably wouldn't be getting all this High Republic stuff partially because of the success of Mandalorian. I would argue that, because if there was nothing good going for Star Wars at that point, if it was still like a mixed bag that we're kind of like, eh, whatever, then, you know, what the hell are they going to do?
I think Acolyte probably benefited from that. The books were going to come out. It was a publishing event that was announced before they were working on it, before Mandalorian became some gigantic success. But
I just don't think, I think they will have been in trouble in the sense of like, oh shit, what do we do? What, and like, if they didn't have Mandalorian, or if Mandalorian just didn't do well, let's just put it that way. If Mandalorian didn't do well the first season, let's just say the first season just sucked. I think it would have been kind of like a, all right, where's this franchise going? What's going on? And that's when I think we will have seen more of like, you know, calling for Kathleen Kennedy's head and, you know, we got to make all these big changes, bring George Lucas back, you know, do this and that and try to save the franchise. So I think
that's an interesting point that I do. Maybe it saved Kathleen Kennedy. I guess my bigger point is Star Wars is not going anywhere. They were going to do a ton of stuff anyways. So I don't think that Mandalorian saved Star Wars. The IP is what I'm talking about. You have a very good point in that if Mandalorian had bombed, a lot of those things would have happened. Like, there would have been kind of, what do we do next? And Kathleen Kennedy probably would have been the first to be on the chopping block. Right. Yeah, certainly.
Your leadership would have been changed. Because what do you do at that point? You literally have put out a whole trilogy of movies. You got mixed reviews, regardless of, like I said, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if I like it, you like it.
Well, it matters the money, and they made good money. Maybe not.
They made good money, maybe not the greatest. I mean, they made billions off it. But
well, so that's, I think, one of the points that this argument's tough. They made a lot of money off those movies. They weren't failures. They were critical. You can say they were critically mixed and didn't do. That's fine. But they made a lot of money. So the money that came in allows them to continue to do stuff.
I mean, there's movies that make a lot of money that suck too. I mean, like,
that's fine. All right, I'm not arguing if they suck or not. That's an opinion. Yeah. They're not going to look at the opinion. They're going to look at how much money it made. If something had a zero on Rotten Tomatoes and made them $50 billion, you don't think they'd put out that too? Of course they would.
Yeah. No, I know.
So that's my thing, where I don't think Star Wars was in trouble.
All right. Yeah, I think it was,
or not as much trouble, I should say. Yes, I agree that Kathleen Kennedy would have been in trouble. We wouldn't be getting these 10 shows. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It would have looked different, for sure. I don't think it was going anywhere, is my point.
Yeah, Mandalorian, I think, did turn,
was huge.
It helped the franchise so much that, I mean, there's still fucking haters out there that fucking hate everything that Star Wars puts out, like you're saying. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. I think The Mandalorian, though, overall brought together old and new the best that could have, hands down, since Disney bought Lucasfilms.
Yeah. Oh, hands down. It felt way more like original trilogy stuff. It felt like EU stuff. Yeah.
But it had new stuff. It had it.
Well, yeah, it has to. Yep.
It had much uniqueness. It
has much more universal appeal. That's for sure.
Yeah, 100%
to the fandom. Yep.
And I think it also captured, obviously, a lot of people. I mean, just Baby Yoda, for instance. Like, everybody fucking knows who Baby Yoda is. Everybody.
I also think those things. I, again, for this argument, I just think those are the things that need to be separated. Though, if Mandalorian crushed it and still the same amount of people hated it, it would still be leading to these things. It's money. it has a play, don't get me wrong. Like, the reason it made a lot of money and did so well is because a lot of people like it. But I'm just saying, there is a difference. These things are from money. So, right. Like, if Mandalorian made twice as much as it did and had twice as much hate, we still would have got this stuff. You know what I mean? Now, it made a bunch of money, probably, I would like to think, because it was good and it did unite a lot of people. You know what I mean? And there are a lot of rewatches and there's a lot of people that subscribe to Disney Plus, and that's how they made their money, right? And that's a big part of it. I'm just saying, I don't think it's very tough to pull away from it, but not, it's more money to them at the end of the day when they're producing stuff.
I think long term, though, eventually.
Well, short term, I mean, sorry. Long term, you're correct. If something keeps getting hated on, all of a sudden the hate watching goes away when it's actually seen as garbage. You know what I mean? And then you lose money. But if the money stays, they're gonna keep doing it.
Yeah,
now, I mean, I'm playing contrarian here. The reason Mandalorian did well is because it was good. Okay. So, like, yeah. I'm not trying to say that the opposite. I'm just saying that when you look at the sequel trilogies, I think as a Star Wars fan, you have to pull back and look at it from the business side of what happened. It divided a lot of people on as a Star Wars fan, but as money, I mean, they made a ton of money. So they were going to do more. You know what I mean? Now, right. I think more as the fan argument, we're getting a lot of stuff we want, probably because Mandalorian went so well.
Right.
You know? I mean, what is the movie schedule? Rogue Squadron? Is that the next one we know of?
Yeah, is it's 2022.
Okay. So, yeah, they, I mean, movies took a beating.
And there's backlash on that movie already because, you know, apparently Wonder Woman was awful. I haven't seen Wonder Woman. I can't give you an opinion on that because I'm the superhero guy. But
I'll say it sooner or later. But I won't. My friends that super critique. I'm not a superhero.
My friends that like superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Said it was not good.
I heard a lot of bad stuff. Yeah.
Compared to the first Wonder Woman,
which was really good. Yeah.
This one was like
not good.
Awful. Yeah. So
I heard this. I've heard a lot of stuff. Yeah. I haven't heard a ton of people love it. That's for sure.
And it's also DC though too, and that's a whole other. Huh? They fucking suck. Give Disney credit. They with the whole Marvel franchise and everything, they've done something that like.
So I guess that's a good standard, right? So like DC is still making money. That's a train wreck. Star Wars isn't even close to that. That's kind of my point. You know what I mean? We have some tough fans that make a lot of stuff tough. The sequel trilogy is like the gold standard compared to some of the stuff that compared to DC as a whole. You know what I mean?
How bad this is. DC is actually, they could be done doing comics in a couple of years. Like there's a rumor going around that they're like in that realm of like, we might be done doing comics because of how bad they're doing.
Really?
That's how bad.
You think Marvel buys like an IP in that case? Like, do you buy Batman if you're Marvel? Or like some of the bigger ones, you got it right. There's money there to be made, right?
I don't know.
Even if you keep it separate, I'm not saying bring it to Marvel, but like, do you buy it because you know how to run it?
Comics in general, I think is not. I mean, at least American comics, I don't think is overall. I don't think is doing well compared to like Japanese manga and stuff like that. Like that Japanese manga is like friggin' still blowing up.
Yeah.
So. I think that's the same way with Marvel too. I don't think it's just DC on that realm. I think it's also Marvel. I think DC, because the movies in the franchises haven't done so well, is because now it's affecting like, all right, we can't afford this shit. So I hope not. I mean, I love Batman, but I think what have we seen in the last few years that like Batman's like, oh, this is super cool. We haven't seen really anything since the Dark Knight movies. Yeah, I mean, after that,
say Bane. When would that come out?
Dawn of Justice.
I don't even know how the other ones. Yeah,
they were in that story too. That was like a perfect opportunity. They've screwed that story up. I mean, the only reason why I kind of liked it was because I knew what comic it came from.
Right.
But
you
most
have the
people
attachment
aren't
to it. Yeah.
No, most people aren't going to know that. So. I don't know. But right, Star Wars is not at that point.
No. Okay. So, all right, we're cruising past an hour here, and we haven't even touched High Republic. Do you want to wrap up? So your overall thought is just Mandalorian saved. I mean, I think we know your overall point. Mandalorian saved Star Wars and is the reason it looks – is the reason the future looks the way it does.
I think the future looks great for Star Wars because Mandalorian. And we're going to
– So I agree with that. I just don't think Star Wars was in as dire straits as you did. I agree that how much The Mandalorian did, I don't necessarily subscribe to how bad off we would have been. It wouldn't have been as gloomy to me as it would have been to you. But we do agree on the impact of Mandalorian, that's for sure.
I guess we weren't at like a... I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't think we were at a DC point, I mean, right. per se. Yeah. I think if they released one more movie...
Yeah. If you got like another couple movies that sucked, yeah.
Yeah, then, you know, say Rogue Squadron for some reason sucks. Well, you know, we might be back to this conversation on like what's going on. Or TV shows. I mean, I don't know. We never know. We don't know what's on the horizon. And obviously, this is all risks. I mean, that's the nature of business. It's all risks.
Yeah, and we'll only get more if they keep doing well. My hope right now, my like long-term hope, is that we get an amazing Old Republic in like 10 or 15 years because all these shows crush it. And then it's like, okay, where do we go? We need something new. And then they just fucking do. This is, can I do one quick comment on like the people who hate everything? I laugh so hard at the people who like said that Star Wars High Republic was going to suck before there was, and this is like even before like the other thing, right? And they were like, why? And don't get me wrong. There's like some nuance here. I completely agree. I wanted Old Republic. And I think High Republic is weirdly placed in the 200 thing. I'm doing the Audible. That's a nice hardcover.
Yeah, it is.
But it's nonetheless, I am very excited for it. So let me clear up my position on that. However, the people, I like that.
Yeah.
The people who hated on it right away, the people who hated on it right away, and we're like, why aren't we getting the Old Republic? My mind explodes because what would they have said if this group of people that they hate doing the High Republic were doing the Old Republic? They'd freak out even more because they'd go, don't touch my stuff. Oh my God. They would lose their minds.
Darth Revan. Oh my God.
They would lose their ever-loving minds. You think they hate High Republic? Oh my God. If Disney right now went into the Old Republic, they would lose their ever-loving shit.
I think they probably, and maybe that's, I never
that's
really
why
thought
I don't even
that.
Get why they want Old Republic. It's like, you hate everything they do. Why do you want them to touch something that you like? Imagine if they said they're going to like redo the original trilogy, those people would melt.
I mean, at some point.
I get it. Don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why they want the Old Republic from a company that everything they put out, they hate. So it's so confusing to me to be like, I hate what you do, but please rewrite my favorite thing. It's like, what?
I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous. The High Republic. So let's just wrap it up.
Yeah.
So the High Republic right now, there's a ton of people, at least. The response is overwhelmingly positive. The stories are apparently really good. We both haven't finished.
On the real review people, yes. The people who actually read it and yes. Yep.
Not fucking Reddit who's okay. The fucking Wookiee is holding the lightsaber wrong, so fuck the High Republic. Like, no. No. That,
but yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
It's like everything. Yep. But so far, it's been a great response. And I just started reading the book I just got the other day. You've read most of the book, I think, right?
No, I'm behind. I'm like chapter 8 or 9. I'm a third of the way through, maybe. So,
and then you've read the comic, though, which
I did read the comic.
Yeah.
I guess the comic actually takes place a little bit ahead of where this book ends. So
I don't think
it's not super spoily, but it hints at some stuff. So, yeah.
But I think the High Republic in general, the timeline wasn't meant to be like a hard, like, all right, Light of the Jedi is 200 years before prequels. Then
I think they're going to organize it because, Charles Soule did come out and say the technical order, if you didn't want to be spoiled at all, would be this book, then I think Justina Ireland's, what is that, Into the Dark? Or is that Claudia Gray?
No, that's Claudia Gray.
What's
Claudia
Justina Gray. Ireland's?
I forgot what. Just what, like,
okay.
Tales.
Okay, that book and then the comic are technically the order. In other words, if you read the comic, there are characters from the comic that are in Light of the Jedi, and at the beginning of Light of the Jedi, there's stuff going on. So if you read the comic, you know those people survive. So I guess that's technically a spoiler. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
But it's not like directly referenced on exactly what happened, so it doesn't like give you a summary. So, but yeah, so far I think the Soul book is really good. It's pretty dark, to be honest with you. I mean, it's mm-hmm. definitely the High Republic vibe of kind of what they pitched in terms of like the Jedi are very idealistic, they're at their height of their power, like all that kind of stuff. The Republic's very like golden agey, so all that is very
has a timeline too.
Okay, cool.
Like all the books, actually.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's pretty cool. Nice. So,
so all that is cool, but like the opening like thing that I'm not even through, like a third of the way through the book, is pretty dark, like what's going on. So I'm just at the chapter where you're meeting the Nihil or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I haven't gotten through it yet. And they sound pretty badass. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm excited about it. I think it's cool. I think it's a great, we've talked about this and I know you agree, but I think this is prime. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I've seen a couple of weird rumors from some Star Wars insider people that say, like Matt Martin said, he's never been more excited about the Star Wars video game landscape, but that's all he can say. That was like a month ago. I'm really hoping that they dive in here, because this is brand new, untouched kind of stuff. This is the perfect place to release like 4 or 5 video games. Give it to me. Give me a MMO. Give me another Fallen Order version game. Give me a Starfighter. Like, let's get back to like when they were releasing like Revenge of the Sith 2 7 days after Revenge of the Sith came out, video game. Even if it's just like weird stuff, just start giving us some video games.
Yeah, we never got a video game on the sequel trilogy, by the way.
I know. You used to get, dude. Every movie had a game. They were, by the way, most of them were terrible, but the point.
I remember playing The Phantom Menace, though, and being like, this is fucking awesome. I'm playing in the movie. Like,
right. They were all just kind of like platform action adventure and kind of things. But yeah, no, it is crazy. They just died, like the fucking, like what? Battlefield, Fallen Order, and Squadron.
Battlefront.
Right? Battlefront. Sorry.
Well, yeah, Battlefront's done. Like, yeah, it's nuts. It's there is a big opportunity with this. I mean,
yeah. And they're all fine games, but 3 games in fucking, what has it been? 6 years? 10 years? I don't even know. Like, that's just pathetic.
Oh, don't count. You got to count
the mobile ones. I haven't done the mobile ones. You're right.
Galaxy of Heroes, which is like a...
I'm not on the mobile gaming thing yet. Sorry.
Fucking dumb. No, it's dumb. It's stupid. It's a waste.
Uprising was kind of cool. Remember that? That was kind of fun. I know. Yeah, why did they cancel that one?
Probably not. I don't know. It's
anyway.
Stupid. I don't know.
I don't want to dive into it. But yes, High Republic. I'm excited. Book's good so far. Comic was cool.
Charles Cole.
Yep. Interesting timeline. I still am under the general opinion it should have been placed a little bit further back, so we're further away.
Yep.
Because it just feels like the galaxy is a lot different, like in terms of what.
Right, yeah. That's pretty cool too.
But I will hold my, it's a minor criticism. Super excited about it. But yeah, give us video games.
Yeah, I know.
And the Acolyte. I know you're into that. I know you want that.
I'm looking forward to that show the most out of any of these shows.
Yeah.
By far.
Could be Plagueis, could be Palpatine. I mean, not Palpatine, I guess. Well, it depends on, did they say it was in the High Republic or?
Yeah.
Towards the end of it. So 200 years. No. So it couldn't be Palpatine, but it could be Plagueis and who was his master? Shit. Tenebris? Yeah. So it could be something along that line. That would be cool.
We could get some final answers though on like it, just in general when related to the Sith in terms of their uprising. I mean, obviously it's probably gonna show like, oh, how do we get to you know, we got.
I'm trying to think if they Plagueis. In Palpatine in Plagueis ever gave his age, because what even if it's I think they said it's towards the end of the High Republic, right? So maybe it's only like 100 years before. So you could get like Tenebris. I don't know how old Plagueis was. Either way, you could get that line. I think they even mentioned Tenebris's master in the beginning of the book. I forget what his
name. And they're both aliens, so I mean, it's not like they're
right. I don't know ages. Yeah, Plagueis is a.
Do we know their species?
Yeah. Plagueis is a Mon, and Tenebris was a Biff, I think, or Tenebris's master was a Biff.
Well, supposedly. Look, but... supposedly.
Right, technically not canon. Yeah.
Not canon yet, I guess. That would be wild if they actually changed the species of those two.
I would like that. You could do something different with Tenebris. There wasn't a ton on Tenebris. He seemed pretty cool, though. I like the Biff thing. The Mun thing, they better not change Plagueis from a Mun. Have you usually seen like the pictures and stuff? Mun are like tall, skinny, almost kind of like a scarier looking
Kamino.
Snoke.
Yeah.
You know, but big like that. They can be big like that and lanky. And like to see one in like the height of their power, not like old and decrepit like Snoke, like could actually move around would be freaky as fuck. So that'd be cool. But yeah. All right, man.
All right.
Does that do it?
I think that wraps up our first episode of 2021.
Yeah.
As always, follow us on all the social media stuff, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. And also check us out on all podcast services. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Overcast, Google, all the good stuff. So other than that, we'll catch you later, Padawans. Let us know what you think of the High Republic.
Later.